Paddy Power and the Football Show. The greatest football partnership since Shearer and Owen.
Joining us on the line at the moment is David Rowe, treasurer of Sligo Rovers. Because last night Sligo Rovers put out a statement saying Sligo Rovers are seriously affected by the two-week shutdown of sporting activities, which is a necessary measure of public interest. Our primary concern remains the safety and health of our fans, management team, players, coaches and volunteers. David's own quotes in this statement said, "We have a short period of time we can survive financially. Urgent action is needed. We cannot operate on full costs and little or no income for very long. We recognise too that our highly supportive football community have their own additional challenges in business, in employment and in their own lives." David, thanks for taking our call this afternoon. I imagine the last couple of days have been pretty surreal and pretty busy for you.
Yeah, they've been busy, and I suppose it's like society in general, and you know, it's ever changing. In my day job outside of Sligo Rovers, I advise small to medium businesses on profitability and cash flow and survival and getting bigger and merging and all that. So you can imagine that's been busy too. But yeah, it is quite surreal, and I suppose from our point of view, what we see is that. What we believe is that there's a reasonably long shutdown coming. We think it's going to be, you know, who knows, 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks. And there's an urgency about it because, you know, we want to come out at the other end of this period with strong League of Ireland clubs that are viable, that can survive. And we don't want the clubs to go through this period so weakened that some of them go under. Like, if you look at the demographic of the League of Ireland, there are probably 3 to 4 Premier Division clubs that are in a bit of a different situation to the rest of us. They either have golden benefactors or they've amassed quite a lot of prize money. And the other 5 or 6 clubs, like ourselves, are very much community-based. And, like, the damage goes outside gate receipts, it goes to all the other fundraisers that we do. And, you know, the First Division clubs are not going to be in a good place either because they're going to be very dependent on gate receipts and fundraising. And, you know, society's going to change a bit over the next couple of months. As I said to you, I'm advising businesses, you know, the order of the day is cut down your costs. We've got to recognise that our supporters who in Sligo are kind of legendary, to be honest with you, in terms of voluntary fundraising, are going to have their own financial challenges. Some of them are running their own businesses. Our supporters won't have the same income. You know, people are going to cut down costs in their life. And we think that, unfortunately, it's probably going to be, it's not going to be 2 weeks, it's going to be 8 or 10 weeks. And the whole, you know, the action plan so far looks around the fact it's going to be 2 weeks. And, you know, I think we'll all be amazed if we're playing football in a fortnight's time.
Yeah, I think that's the thoughts of a lot of people as well, David. David, we might just leave you go just for a second. The phone line's breaking up. We're just going to call you back and we'll get David Rowe back on the line in a couple of minutes. But Dan, Johnny, like as David was saying there, football activity suspended in Ireland until March 29th. Obviously, as we were saying at the top of the show, we're not experts. We don't necessarily know how long it's going to be. But given the way it's increased over the last few days, it doesn't really feel like we're going to be seeing football in Ireland or anywhere really for much more than 2 weeks.
Yeah, look, this is the problem, and David laid it out well there, and I think, you know, it probably outlines that very naturally, of course, like there's public interest and people are wondering what it means for the Slovakia game, what it means for Mick McCarthy and Stephen Kenny. I'm sure we'll discuss that in due course. You know, what happens to the Champions League and the Euros, but I mean, that's all almost irrelevant compared to the bigger picture stuff that David touched upon there. And I suppose no more so than in sort of society generally in sport, there probably needs to be unity on it. David is right. There are different clubs equipped to handle this better than others. Although the flip side of that is that those clubs might have bigger wage bills and might be reliant on European income coming down the tracks, which could be jeopardised if this delay goes on and on. So, you know, their situations can flip. So more than anything, I think, between players, between, you know, clubs, the FAI, the people need to be around the same table, on the same page. In a weird way, you know, we're coming up to the 1 year anniversary of changes in Irish football, dramatic changes in Irish football, and I'm happier that we're dealing with this now, rather than maybe it would have been probably unilaterally handled back then. Mm-hmm. And you know, maybe not in a very clear way. So now everyone has to be around the same table and forgetting past grievances and sorting it out.
Yeah, David is back on the line with us. David Rowe, treasurer of Sligo Rovers. David, to go back maybe a week or so, can you talk us through maybe the moment you kind of realised that something like this was potentially coming down the line? Initially, some people were talking about the possibility of behind closed doors, but obviously that in and of itself would again have an enormous impact on a League of Ireland club. But at what point over the last couple of weeks did you realise that you could be in a situation where football was going to have to go on hold?
I mean, we could not have survived behind closed doors that you know, or with attendances of 500 or less. Mm. So the three choices that were laid out were behind closed doors, attendances of restricted to 500 or a shutdown. And we're quite happy that the shutdown, well, not happy, but, you know, in relative terms, the shutdown was the only correct route, certainly for us. You know, since then we've begun, you know, we've been very on the ball in terms of what we're doing. There's a process going on at the moment within the FAI, with the clubs, with the PFAI, on where this takes us to. You know, we think there needs to be a little bit of reality brought into that in terms of, you know, clubs having 2, 3, 4 weeks to go max in terms of cash flow, and who knows what happens thereafter. Like, you know, I don't advise any other business that keeps paying out full costs and has you know, maybe 5 or 10 or 15% of their income coming in. And we all know League of Ireland clubs are delicately balanced. You know, we've every single penny budgeted forward in terms of cash flow. And as I said to you earlier, and we're you know, Sligo's a massive community club. We raised €500,000 last year in voluntary fundraising. €500,000. What an incredible total from a you know, a town and county and diaspora base. And we know those people are going to be affected, and they can't support us to the same. So there's some kind of fundamental, like, to us, there are two solutions needed. One, there's either some kind of support, which seems to be what has been explored at the moment. That will have to come fairly quickly, like within the next 2, 3, or 4 weeks. And the other solution is some kind of temporary pause in terms of, you know, shutdown of costs. Certainly for the 5 or 6 Premier clubs that are in the same boat as ourselves and the First Division clubs, like, you know, nobody goes on when their income is 10% with full costs, and we can't either. And we're, you know, no League of Ireland club, other than maybe the top two and a couple of strongly supported benefactor clubs, are in a position to do that. And you know, we've got to realise where society is in all this debate, and where our supporters are, where our sponsors are. And we've a whole pile of responsibilities, and, you know, we as the custodians of the club simply cannot run, you know, a large cost base for 3 or 4 weeks hence. We can't. You know, we would be enormously irresponsible, and potentially we would damage what's a very good club and a very good employer and a very good social outlet for people.
And as of now, are players still being paid their full wages? As you mentioned in the statement, you know, you have ceased all football activities in line with the HSE and FAI guidelines. So training and team activities have been shut down immediately. At what point do player wages become affected, do you think?
Well, I suppose there are a series of meetings on Monday within the FAI. There are three sets of meetings. Some of those meetings are for the second and third time. So, you know, there's some concrete action rather than we're kind of skirting around the issues. You know, we're just going to wait to see. But I suppose what I'm saying to you is that I don't think the majority of clubs can wait indefinitely while some supposed golden rescue comes in, or, you know, that there's a kind of a never promise of like, there is going to be a point in time for every single club outside probably 4 where they simply run out of money. I don't want to put a number on it. We know in Sligo what our number is, and you know we've got a little bit of time, you know, for some of those things to be organised. But you know, we live in a real world as well, where you know, there's going to be a lot of changes for people in society and in employment, and you know, the football community can't be immune from that. I mean, we're not training. We've closed the ground. You know, there are no matches. There is no training. You know, running a delicately balanced financially entity, you know, without serious support or a dramatic cut in costs, you couldn't envisage it. It couldn't happen. Can't happen.
How have the players reacted to the possible reality of this?
I mean, like ourselves, the players are concerned, I'm sure. And you know, we've a record as a really good employer. We are a very good employer, and we will do everything we can to alleviate the situation. But I suppose the one thing we can't do is run the club under. And you know, there are talks at the moment of some kind of you know, golden fund coming in to assist. Those talks have been in the air for and mooted for the last couple of weeks. I suppose our view is that, you know, there's a timeline within which that has to be delivered, and it's getting shorter. So, you know, we're concerned for our players, we're concerned for our supporters, we're concerned for our fans, you know, our sponsors. All of them dig deep to keep Sligo Rovers going, and we have to, as a board, do the responsible thing, whatever that is. I mean, the easiest solution is obviously that there is some kind of short-term support, but you know, that appears to be somewhat in the distance and intangible and uncertain. And
the danger is you don't know what the short term is. Is it 2 weeks? Is it 12 weeks?
Well. No, we don't, I think I saw FIFA publishing something yesterday that they're considering suspending football for March and April. So that would indicate it won't be 2 weeks. I don't think any of us believe honestly that it's going to be in 2 weeks' time. We're going to be playing League of Ireland matches again. You know, if that's the case, yes, we can. Of course, we can see it through. Of course, we can. But you know, if it goes on beyond that, like it's not. It's not rocket science, you know. It's not going to add up fairly quickly. It's difficult for everybody. It's difficult for players. It's difficult for managers. It's difficult for the board, the supporters. But you know, the one thing that we all have a common interest in, which was spoken about earlier in the program, is that strong clubs come out the far end of this. That you know, good clubs, good employers like Sligo Rovers are there. You know, we're robust, we're financially stable, we run ourselves in a very responsible way, and you know, we want the debate elevated up a couple of notches, because it seems to us that, you know, there's an air of unreality in some of the discussions that have taken place to date, that, you know, we're not really addressing the survival of the five or six Premier Division clubs and the First Division clubs. It you know, there's an air of the wealthier clubs may be looking at their own circumstances and whether they can train or not train, and you know, like there's a more fundamental issue out there, I think, for employers generally.
And if the, you know, the help isn't able to come from UEFA or the FAI or whichever body is in a position to do it, if that doesn't happen, are there clubs in the League of Ireland that could essentially go under because of this?
I'm sure there are. I'm sure there are. If people end up being contracted to pay out full costs, you'd have to imagine there are. You know, it's quite expensive to run a League of Ireland club, and you know, different clubs have different mix of funding. I think that probably the community funded clubs are going to be the hardest hit in this particular set of circumstances. So I'd imagine that's Derry City, Finn Harps, Bowes, ourselves, Cork, you know, where you know, they're heavily supported within the local community rather than either have substantial prize money or substantial, you know, benefactors or backers. So, you know, I'm not saying those clubs are particularly going to go bust. Like, there's a string of first division clubs as well who have very financially challenging. So, yes, of course. But, you know, I would hope that, you know, between the PCA, the FAI, the PFAI, that, you know, as was said earlier in the programme, people sit around the table and you'd be more confident absolutely now than you would have been a year ago, that everybody recognises we've got a common position here, which is to have 20 decent clubs come out the back end of this who, you know, especially, you know, so, and like the Premier Division clubs, you know, are paying reasonably decent wages, are good employers, and First Division clubs are doing the best that they can in their own set of circumstances. And having a strong league, the far side of this is the most important thing, with all the clubs still standing.
Could you talk me through, for example, Sligo Rovers' next home game that has been postponed due to play Shelburne this Saturday, 7 days' time? What sort of a hit is the club taking on that game not going ahead?
Well, we were supposed to play Waterford, Monday night. So we had two home matches this week. So the Waterford match was previously deferred. So, you know, between the two matches, you're talking about gate receipts, you're talking about merchandise, you're talking about halftime raffles, all the other things that we do very, very well. You're probably talking about €40,000. But I suppose my point to you, Neil, is as well as that, you know, we're not going to have the people meeting in pubs, I heard discussion earlier on, to do table quizzes for us. You know, all those other things. We launched a beer last year. You know, we've multiple things going on. And unfortunately, because people really can't have contact with each other now, we can't sell raffle tickets. You know, it was a draw that brought in €70,000 last year. So the effect for us is probably double the effect of the gate receipts, because all of those other activities actually dwarf our gate receipts. Like, our community and supporter funding is well flagged and well known. So, in fact, what we brought in through those revenue streams is about 1.5 times our gate receipts. So for us, the damage is as much in the other revenue streams as it is in losing the two gates.
Mm-hmm. David Rowe, thanks a million for taking the time out to speak to us this afternoon on Off the Ball.
Thank you. Thanks, Neil.
Paddy Power and the Football Show, the greatest football partnership since Diouf and Heskey.